This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we continued on some of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to His rububiyyah, His lordship. And so those names were related to Allah being the owner, the king, al-malik, al-malik. And so today we move on to another three names of Allah that are related to His rububiyyah, His lordship. And so these names are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the sole provider, the one who provides, the one who sustains, the one who nourishes. And so that is related to Allah's attribute of providing, ar-rizq. And so these three names are ar-raziq, ar-razzaq, and al-muqit. Ar-raziq, ar-razzaq, and al-muqit. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only created the creation, but He created them and did not leave them to be just like that without providing for them what they need in order to survive. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides, He sustains, He nourishes, and not only that, but He does it constantly, non-stop. And so let us have a look at these three names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is Ar-Raziq. Ar-Raziq on its own has not been mentioned in the Quran, like other names, like Al-Khaliq, for example. But rather, it has been mentioned as Allah being the best of those who provide, the best of the raziqeen. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. In Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Allah is the best of the raziqeen, of those who provide. In this way, it has been mentioned five times in the Quran. It has been mentioned five times in the Quran. And so in Surah Al-Ma'idah as well, at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, when Isa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down the ma'idah, food, and the tablecloth, what did he say? وَرُزُقْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Provide for us and you are the best of those who provide. So in this way it has been mentioned five times in the Quran. However, it has been mentioned a lot in the Quran in the form of the verb يَرْزُقُ, that Allah is the one who provides. This has been mentioned many, many times in the Quran. وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ, وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, for example. Allah provides, يَرْزُقُ, He provides whomever He wills, without taking any account. And so يَرْزُقُ has been mentioned a lot in the Quran. As for الرَّزَاقُ, So this is the second name, Al-Razzaq. Al-Razzaq has been mentioned only once in the Quran. Only once. Which surah is that in? Yes. Which surah is that? Inna Allaha huwa ar-razzaqu dhul quwwatil mateen. Indeed, it is Allah who is the continual provider and the firm possessor of strength. Dhul quwwatil mateen. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Dhariyat. In Surah Al-Dhariyat, verse 58. As for Al-Muqit, Al-Muqit has been also only been mentioned once in the Quran. And that is in Surah An-Nisa, in verse 85, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقِيتًا. And Allah is ever providing for everything. And so what is the difference between these three names of Allah? As for Ar-Raziq and Ar-Razzaq, then they both come from the same root word of Ar-Rizq, provision, nourishment. And so Ar-Raziq is on the scale of Al-Fa'il in the Arabic language, which means the doer. And so Allah is the provider. As for Ar-Razzaq, so what's the difference between Ar-Raziq and Ar-Razzaq? Ar-Razzaq is on the scale of Al-Fa'al. And that scale in the Arabic language is the one who does a lot of something. So in this case, it would mean, Ar-Razzaq would mean what? What would it mean? The one who constantly provides. The one who provides a lot, non-stop, continuously. So that is the meaning of Ar-Raziq and Ar-Razzaq. How about Al-Muqit? Al-Muqit, the scholars actually differed about its meaning. So some said that it means that Allah is the protector. Or others said it means Allah is the one who is all-powerful. But what seems to be the correct view of the scholars regarding Al-Muqit is that it comes from the word Al-Qut. And Qut basically means nourishment. It means food, basically. Food, drink that you take as nourishment. So Al-Muqit is the one who gives that nourishment. Al-Muqit is basically the provider, the one who gives, the one who feeds, the one who nourishes. And so what is the difference between Al-Muqit and Al-Raziq or Razzaq? What is the difference? Al-Muqit is specific to bodily nourishment. So Al-Qut means food. It means bodily nourishment that you intake to be nourished, to survive. And it only means that. It doesn't mean anything else. Al-Rizq, on the other hand, when we say rizq in the Arabic language, it is more general. So it includes food and drink and bodily nourishment, but it also includes wealth, money. And as we will see, it also means non-bodily nourishment. And so the scholars, they mention that rizq is of two kinds. The first is the general kind, which is bodily nourishment and wealth. So something that we enjoy for our bodies, our outer fulfillment of wealth, of food, of natural resources, all of that is rizq. And this is general that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for all of His creation, irrespective of whether they are obedient or disobedient, Muslim or non-Muslim, human or animal. And so the first kind of rizq is the general, all-encompassing rizq of Allah that He provides for everyone, for everything, irrespective of what it is, irrespective of who it is. The second kind is the specific rizq of Allah, which is provision that He provides for the hearts and the souls. And that is basically provision of iman, of taqwa, of tawfiq, being granted the ability to do good deeds, etc. And so this is specific for who? For the believers. This is specific for the believers. And that's why it will result in a specific rizq for them in the akhirah that others will not have. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the pleasures of the akhirah, of Jannah, as being rizq. And so, for example, Allah says in Surah At-Talaq, in the very beginning, in verse 11 of Surah At-Talaq, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Whoever believes, does righteous good deeds, Allah will enter him into Jannat, under which rivers flow, to abide therein forever. Then what does Allah say? How does Allah conclude the ayah? قَدْ أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ رِزْقًا. قَدْ أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ رِزْقًا. Allah will have indeed granted them an excellent rizq, an excellent provision. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after listing several of the rewards for the people of Jannah, in Surah Sa'd, after He mentions all of these things that they will have, the people of Jannah, He goes on to say, إِنَّ هَذَا لَرِزْقُنَا مَا لَهُ مِن نَفَاد. Indeed, this is our rizq. This is our provision that will never end. And so the rizq of Allah, there is the general one, and that is for everyone, and for everything, even animals. And then there is the rizq that is specific for the believers. In this dunya, it means iman and taqwa and being granted the ability to do good deeds. And in the akhirah, it refers to the rewards of Jannah. So this is the specific rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the general one, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say regarding that? وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no moving creature on earth except their provision is guaranteed by Allah. And so these are the three names of Allah: Ar-Raziq, Ar-Razzaq, and Al-Muqit. All referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being the provider, the sole provider who provides His creation, whether it be bodily nourishment, such as food, drink, wealth, or whether it be food for the soul, and that is iman and taqwa and so on and so forth. Now, what do these names teach us? First of all, like we said previously, concerning Allah being Al-Malik, Al-Malik, and also Allah being Al-Khaliq, whoever believes in Allah as being the Creator, who created everything, and whoever believes that Allah is the Provider, whoever believes that Allah is the one who provides, then he has to believe that Allah alone deserves to be asked for provision. Whoever believes that Allah is the only one who can provide for his servant and for his creation, then he naturally has to believe that only Allah deserves to be called upon, to be asked for rizq. So just like if you believe that Allah is the only one who created this universe, and we mentioned this previously, that belief necessitates that you believe that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped. Likewise, we say here, and this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again has used to refute the worship of others. And so in the Quran, Allah uses the fact that He is Ar-Raziq and the one who provides to disprove the worship of others who cannot provide. And we said that regarding Allah being the Creator and Allah being the owner. And we say the same thing here. And so, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, in verse 73, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ رِزْقًا مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ رِزْقًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. They worship, Allah is referring to the mushrikun, they worship besides Allah those who cannot afford for them any provision, any rizq, those who cannot provide them any rizq from the heavens and the earth, nor do they have the power to do so. So Allah negated from the false gods any ownership of rizq and any ability to provide rizq. Therefore, why would you call upon them? Therefore, why would you ask them for anything? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions likewise in Surah Fatir, verse number 3, هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is there any creator other than Allah who يَرْزُقُكُمْ, provides for you from the heavens and the earth? لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. There is no God worthy of worship except He. How then can you be deluded from the truth? The second lesson that we learn from Allah being Ar-Raziq and Ar-Razaq and Al-Muqit is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides like no one else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides and feeds and nourishes unlike anyone else. And that's why Allah says that He is the best of those who provide. Meaning, yes, me and you can be referred to as someone who provides. We provide for our family. We provide for our children. We feed our children. But Allah is the best of those who provide. And one of the ways of looking at this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides without any difficulty, without any effort, with zero effort, with zero difficulty. Unlike us who have to go through hardship and difficulty to provide. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned in this regard in Hadith Qudsi. What is a Hadith Qudsi? Or what is the difference between a Hadith Qudsi and a regular Hadith? The wording of the Hadith is from Allah. So basically, or let's say, what's the difference between a Hadith Qudsi and the Quran? So anyone would narrate it from the Prophet ﷺ, Hadith Qudsi. So it's the words of the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah. So Hadith Qudsi is basically Allah speaking. So it's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah has said such and such. Allah says such and such. So the Prophet ﷺ is quoting Allah. However, the Prophet ﷺ could do that using his own words. So he could be using his own words. Not that he made it up. That's not what we mean by that. What we mean is that Jibreel alayhi salam brought that information to the Prophet ﷺ, and then the Prophet ﷺ now is conveying that to the companions in his own words. It doesn't have to be word for word. Whereas the Quran, not just word for word, but letter for letter, is the word of Allah. The Quran is the word of Allah that cannot be changed even by the Prophet ﷺ. So the Quran is from Allah both in word and meaning. Whereas the Hadith Qudsi is from Allah in meaning only, in its meaning. So in this Hadith Qudsi, it's a long hadith that Imam An-Nawawi included in his 40 ahadith. One part of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah says, O my servants, if the first of you and the last of you, and the humans of you and the jinn of you were all to stand together in one place and then ask from me, and if I were to give each one of you whatever he requested, then that would not decrease from my dominion, from what I possess, except what is decreased of the ocean when a needle is dipped into it. So when you dip a needle into the ocean, what comes out? Nothing. Perhaps not even a single drop. And so here, the Prophet ﷺ is describing how when Allah gives us and when He provides, if all of us from the beginning, from Adam alayhi salam to the last human, not just humans, but he says even the jinn, were to all come together and stand and ask Allah, and then he was to give each one of us what we ask for, that would not diminish or decrease anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in the slightest. So this shows us the difference between Allah being the provider and us being the provider. The third lesson that we learn from these names is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed the rizq, the provisions of each and every single one of us before even creating us. And so rizq is from the qadr of Allah, the pre-eternal decree of what Allah has decreed and what He wrote before He created us. And so the Prophet ﷺ mentions in a hadith concerning how we are created in the wombs of our mothers, the various stages. And so he mentioned, you know, the first stage is 40 days, and then the next stage is another 40 days, the nutfa, the alaqa, and then the mudgha, a piece of flesh, is also 40 days. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, then Allah sends an angel who breathes life into this body, and that angel then commands to record four things. So four things are written when the fetus is in the womb of the mother before even coming to life. Four things. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned these four things are, the very first thing he mentioned, it's rizq, it's provision. Meaning, what will this person achieve of the dunya in this life? How much will he have? Will he be rich? Will he be poor? His rizq will be written for him. Meaning that it is written in stone and it's not going to change. It has been written, it has been decreed by Allah, it will not change. So it's rizq and its lifespan, how long he will live, and his amal, what he will do, and whether he will be shaqi or sa'id, whether he will be from the happy ones, meaning in the akhirah, or from those who are miserable, meaning in the akhirah. So whether he will be in Jannah or in the hellfire, in the akhirah. All these four things are written before a person is born. So what this teaches us is that we should be satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us of rizq, no matter how small it may be. Be satisfied with what Allah has written for you. This does not contradict, making an effort to gain more rizq, or to ask Allah for rizq. You don't say, Allah has decreed this for me, okay, that's it. I'm not going to ask Allah for, you know, for anything else. Nor does it mean that you don't go out and make an effort to gain rizq. What it means is that if after you have done all of that, then be satisfied with what Allah has written for you. And it also teaches us not to look at others and envy others who may have what we don't have of rizq. So to be satisfied with what Allah has given to us, and to also be satisfied with what Allah has given to others. And this is where many of us, we have a problem, and we start to envy what Allah has given to others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran that He has favored some of us over others in this very thing, in rizq. وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Allah has favored some of you over others in provision, in rizq. And so we should be satisfied with the decree of Allah, not only for ourselves, but also for others. This is what Allah has given to them, and He has not given to you. So don't envy what Allah has given to them, just because He has not given it to you. The fourth lesson that we learn is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing others, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing the kuffar and the disobedient, just because Allah provides for them more than He may provide for us, it does not mean in any way whatsoever that Allah is favoring them over the believers. For the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were not given by Allah what others were given of material rizq, of material wealth. But yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored the prophets and the messengers over the rest of mankind. But unfortunately, the kuffar, this is what they thought. They thought the fact that we have everything means that Allah has favored us. And this is what they think until today. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Saba that people who were given by Allah and they disobeyed Allah and they disbelieved in Him, وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا. They said, we are far superior, meaning to the believers, we are superior to them, in wealth and in children. We have been given more. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. And so we're not going to be punished. قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Say, O Muhammad, that surely it is my Lord who gives abundantly and who also limits. He's the one who gives and He's also the one who limits for others to whomever He wills. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people, they do not know. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says along the same lines in Surah Al-Mu'minun, أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Do they think, since we provide them with wealth and with children, نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ, that we hasten to them with all kinds of good? Does it mean that we are giving them something good? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Rather, they are not aware. Meaning, that just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to them of material wealth in this dunya, it doesn't mean that it's something good for them. And that's why elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that that is actually a source of punishment for them. وَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَأَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا نُعَذِّبُهُمْ بِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to not be deluded by what the munafiqun have outwardly, but rather Allah is saying, Allah says, we are punishing them through this. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the kuffar and to the disobedient ones is a test for them. And it is also something Allah gives to them in this dunya to deprive them of the good in the akhirah. The fifth lesson that we learn is that iman and taqwa, are the primary reasons for Allah to send His rizq for us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 96, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That if had the people of these societies that Allah had destroyed, had they believed, amanu wa taqwa, had they believed and had taqwa of Allah, then we would have overwhelmed them with blessings from the skies and from the earth. So the rizq Allah would have given to them had they believed and had taqwa. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for him out of every difficulty. If you're in a difficult situation or in a distressful situation, the relief from Allah will come. How? Through taqwa. And what else will happen? وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah will provide for him. يَرْزُقْ. He will provide for him rizq from where he never expected it, from where he could never, from sources that he never imagined. And this is something that we experience, that when we turn to Allah with iman, with taqwa, and we even give up a source of income that may be haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up sources that are halal. When we look for a halal income, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us from places we least expected, from places we never imagined. How did that come? Because you feared Allah and you feared falling into haram. So that taqwa now helps you to be provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, we should turn to Allah and seek rizq from Him alone. If anything we learn from these names of Allah is that we should turn to Allah and call upon Him through these names. And that's one of the lessons we learn from all of the names of Allah, that when you want to ask Allah for something, choose the name that is suitable for what you are asking Allah for. So if you want to ask Allah for mercy, then call upon Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. If you want rizq, if you're looking for a job, or you want the rizq of Allah, call upon Allah by Ar-Raziq, Ar-Razzaq. And that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole provider. And we have a beautiful example of this from the story of Zakariya alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Maryam that after Zakariya was appointed the guardian over Maryam, and so she was living in his house, and she was in her mihrab, her place of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّ الْمِحْرَابَ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. That every time Zakariya would visit her in her sanctuary, he would find her being supplied with rizq. And so the mufassirun would mention that she would have food that was not of that season. And he was shocked. He was surprised. He said, where did this come from? قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا. Oh Maryam, where did you get this from? قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. She said to him, it is from Allah. Surely Allah provides for whoever He wills, without limit. And so Zakariya alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah. But yet even he learned from someone who was below him. He learned a lesson from someone who was below him. And so he learned from this that if Allah could give Maryam this rizq, and Allah is Ar-Raziq, the one who provides without limit, then Allah could also give me something that I really wish for and that I really want. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهِ. Then and there, Zakariya, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then and there, قَالَ رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. He made this dua to Allah, that, O Allah, grant me by your grace offspring, children, for you certainly are the hearer of every dua. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how he sent the angels who came to him and gave him the good tidings, the glad tidings of Yahya, and how he was shocked, and he said, you know, I'm very old in age and my wife is barren. How is that possible? And the rest of the story. But the point here is that Zakariya learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, so I should ask him even for that which seems impossible. And so we should call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone for our needs in this dunya and in the next. And more importantly, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rizq that we spoke of, the rizq of the hearts and the souls, and that is the nourishment of the souls, which is iman and taqwa and the doing of good deeds that leads us to the rizq of the akhirah. And so with that we conclude. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.